Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome you out for a wonderful show today, a show that's for you and about you. Those of you who are working so hard for your money and you're ready for your money to start working harder for you. You want that freedom, that cash flow, that prosperity right now, not waiting 30 or 40 years from now, but today. So you have that freedom and that ability to be with those you love, to do what you want when you want. And on top of that, not only to have your life blessed, but to have the ability to create a ripple effect in the lives of others, to be a blessing and create, as Steve Jobs would say, you create that footprint in people's lives. And so create a footprint in this world. And that's exactly what we're here to do as Ripplers, is that we're here to prosper and to help others do the same. And I'm excited to be a part of that. Thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of your lives and for allowing me to grow and share this message on a bigger and bigger scale all the time. So thank you so much. As a reminder, you can check out our website, moneyripples.com. There's great blogs on there. And hey, if you haven't listened to these other podcasts, keep listening. Appreciate those of you that have been telling me you've been binging like crazy. I love it. Whether you've been telling me as you've been mowing your lawn and listening to this, or you're driving your car or whatever it might be, I appreciate you guys tuning in. So today I'm going to take a different spin than I have ever done. I'm actually going to start talking to those that are specifically financial advisors. Now, this is still applicable to many of you guys, right? Now, this message to financial advisors is just as much for you as it is for them. But I really want this to be something that's kind of heart to heart and serious in a sense of what I've learned over the last 18 years of being in this industry. I'm the anti-financial advisor. Why? Because I don't believe in the traditional mainstream stuff, the crap that we've been taught, really, as whether it's been taught to us from other quote-unquote experts or other advisors, or it's been taught in general, just out there, like that stuff, the typical spend nothing, save everything, pay off all your debt, save your money in mutual funds and different financial products in hopes that someday you might be able to retire, is a fallacy, pure and simple. And I want to take you back to why, because, when I first became a financial advisor, and by the way, just so you know, put this at ease for those of you that are financial advisors, I believe that if you're listening to this, you probably do have great intentions and that you went into this business because you wanted to help people and you thought maybe this was a cool way to do it. And I don't blame you one bit, because if that's the case, you were just like me. I remember I went in it was right after the new year, 2002. So right after 9/11 had happened, right? A great time to become a financial advisor when the market's, having some of its worst years ever. And, I got into that business because I'll tell you, I had no experience at all and nothing. I was a sociology major that had the opportunity to triple minor in psychology, ballroom dancing, and Japanese. So kind of a Renaissance man. But I'll tell you, when it came to money, I really didn't know squat. I mean, I took a banking class in high school, some accounting classes, but overall, they didn't really teach me anything but how to balance a checkbook. They didn't really teach me about how to make or even grow money. And so, I remember I had a friend that was hired as a financial advisor, and it sounded so cool, right? I mean, I went into it thinking like, almost like the wedding singer. If you remember when the wedding singer, when he goes in to the bank and they say, well, why do you want to work here? He's like, well, I need money. I have a jar on top of the fridge that I like to put money in. And so that's where you come in, sir, is that I like to add more money to that money. I want to add more money to that jar. And I was kind of the same way. I was like, hey, I don't really know much, but it sounds interesting. And I'll tell you, the thing that was deep down that really got me to want to do it, to be a financial advisor, was when really my dad, I remember my dad growing up was, cheap, in a lot of ways. He was very cheap, stingy with money. He acted a little like Fred Flintstone. He kind of had his temper. And, he would always say things like, You know, I'm going to work until I'm dead. There was never a positive thing said when it came to his future. He truly believed that he would die working. Like he would just work until there's no more life in him. And then there you go. Now he saved and saved in his 401k. He did everything that he was supposed to do, right? He was debt free. He was like the Dave Ramsey poster child. But the thing is he was not free. And so my whole goal of becoming a financial advisor is, what if I can give him at least a year or two of his life back? Wouldn't that be worth it? So my own personal knowledge and helping him would make it all worthwhile. I help other people in the meantime, bonus. And so I started to learn, you know, and I went through and got all the tests. I got my life and health insurance licenses, and I, you know, got my securities licenses and all that stuff. So I could sell you mutual funds and life insurance and disability, health insurance, and all that kind of stuff, right? I even got mortgage license eventually, so I could do mortgages. And I even did debt pay down plans. I mean, I pretty much was like the one-stop shop is what I was trying to create. I was actually studying for my CFP right before I quit. So anyways, I did this for 4 years, right? And it got to about 2005. 2005, I dropped my securities licenses because, you know, I was given a choice. You know, I got hired as someone who could actually train people how to trade stocks and options. The broker dealer didn't like that. So they said, either you choose them or you choose us. And I said, all right, I choose them. So I kept my life insurance licenses, but I dropped my securities license in 2005. Now, during that time, a lot of things started to be tested because I started to inherit clients that, you know, a lot of people leave the financial advising business. It is a hard business. For those of you that don't know, it's not easy. Very few people last beyond a couple of years. If you last 5 years, you're basically a veteran, you know? Most people never make it that far, and they usually don't make that much money. So the vast majority of people, I mean, it's like, almost like network marketing, right? Like the vast majority of people will fail, though a very few percentage will succeed. And so I was one of those people, I was lasting. I wasn't making a ton of money, but I was doing better than the average Joe. And, you know, and I remember in 2005, you know, especially as I got away from, you know, the brainwashing as much, right? And I started to learn other things, even about trading stocks and options, which, by the way, I don't trade stocks and options anymore. I personally don't like to gamble with my money that much. So I'm very risk averse. You know, I do not want to play those kind of markets, especially on things I can't control very well. So I got out of that eventually. But during that time, you know, I'm hearing them talk about and joke about 401ks and mutual funds and how they're ridiculous. I'll tell you one big thing that was huge was actually the things I was learning as a financial advisor, because I saw these people, I would inherit these clients, right? And a lot of them weren't doing that great. And even when I would get them on the phone, they'd say, oh, I hope that person's in jail now, you know, referring to their former financial advisor. Oh, I hate them, especially as Y2K was mean, right? So a lot of people were upset and bitter. They're like, I lost so much money in the market. No thanks to that bloke, you know, for lack of a better word. I guess I'm British now. So anyways, they're pretty angry. They're pretty upset. It was not a friendly conversation at all. And I realized, I'm like, yeah, you know, you're looking at evidence, and these people have had, some of them had financial advisors since like the 80s, which is when financial advising, 70s to 80s is when it started to become more popular, a little bit more mainstream. And they weren't happy with them at all. And I was looking at their accounts. I could see their balances. I'm like, well, I would be happy either. On top of that, you know, I remember like I said, investors would scoff at it. They would be like, please, you know, that's ridiculous. I remember I started running real numbers. I'm like, well, if I'm looking at the market, I'm honest with the market actually returns. It was interesting because there was a trainer that came in and he said, okay, guys, now let's say you have $10,000, you lose 50%, you've got $5,000. Now, guys, if you want to get back to $10,000, what return do you need to make? And we're all like, well, that's easy. 50%. You lost 50, you need to make 50 back. He's like, look at the numbers. No, if you go down from 10 to 5,000, and if you only make 50% on 5,000, you only made 2,500. Now you only have 7,500. You're still short. What do you need to make? You need to make 100%. He's like, and what's that average? If that's over 2 years, you lose 50% and make 100%, you're breaking even. But guess what? You actually only average 25%. So you get a positive return average, but the actuals weren't that way. Now remember, this was about 2004, 2005. And it blew our minds. We're thinking, whoa, wait, everything they've taught us have been average returns. And I thought, my goodness, that's horrible. And so when we looked at it, we said, man, all of us, even after the roaring 90s, which was awesome, all of us would have had more money from 1995 to 2005 had we actually not gambled in the market. We actually got more steady set returns. We thought, well, that's a big sham. And remember too, 2005, I mean, 2003 on, from March 03 on, the markets came back up. So there was some recovery, but it wasn't enough despite only having really, you know, three down years, you know, 2000, 2001, 2002. So three down years and seven up years. Still, you would have more money just getting steady returns. And so I remember I cornered one of those guys out there. He was a product provider out in, you know, a trainer. I cornered him in the parking lot and I said, hey, we've run the numbers. We've been better off getting fixed or indexed returns versus just variable returns in the markets. He said, yeah, but you know, you've got time. You're young. You know, looking at me because I'm in my late 20s at the time. He's like, you're young. You can afford that kind of risk. We're just giving another, you know, just another option for people that are scared of the market. And he basically got in his car and left. I realized, wait a minute, I'm just a salesman in a suit. You know, he just told me, hey, we're only offering this. It's not really better. We're just offering it because there's people scared of the market. So let's give them something they want, which great. You're kind of creating value in a way. But in truth, I was just a salesman in a suit. I was just offering whatever was being offered. And even then, I still, something did not sit right about what he said about me being young enough to afford that risk. I'm thinking, well, at what age is that not true? You know, because eventually, you know, if the market tanks right before I'm going to retire, whenever age that ends up being, my goal at that time was age 40. Well, what would happen then? You know, I'm at risk, you know, and there was no guarantees. Yeah, flash forward a little bit more. December of that same year, I go to meet with my dad and I look at his situation. He says, well, what can I do? And I said, well, not much. I said, the only thing you have really, I mean, you get your 401k locked up, but there's not a lot in there that you'll be able to live on for more than maybe 5 years. And then you're going to run out of money other than Social Security. He says, well, what else could I do? I said, well, you could cash out your mortgage and invest that. He's like, okay, I was debt free. I was pretty proud of that, but I need answers. So where would I invest it? And I said, I don't know. Because I said, even with the things I have, even if I put you in indexed annuities and things like that, I would still have to guarantee that if you're going to beat the interest on your mortgage, you got to be at least 5% a year at that time because interest rates were higher. You got to make at least 5% a year. He's like, well, where do I get that? I said, well, nowhere I can guarantee that. Really, I can't guarantee anything. And remember, this is not long after a few months after I met with a brother-in-law that was a business owner who said, Chris, I can invest $10,000 in my business, you know, and I'll make that money back and then some. I'll make 100% return on my money in 2 or 3 months. So why would I invest money with you making maybe 12%, which really wasn't a true return because we look at actual numbers. The actual numbers, like I just ran the other day, was 7.42% for the last 3 years is actual returns on the S&P 500. That's before you take out the fees and before you take out taxes. It's ridiculous. And he's saying, hey, Chris, even if I make 12% on 10 grand, that means I make 1,200 bucks in a year, but I can make that 10 grand back in a couple months with my business. Why should I invest with you? And I said, well, you should be diversified. You shouldn't put all your eggs in one basket. That's risky to put all in business. You know, ironic that financial advisors have their own business and I'm telling him this, right? So all these experiences, I mean, just the things I learned from, you know, the product providers coming in and training us on whatever they want us to sell, from my own experience, seeing people's real numbers, from my dad's own experience, from my brother-in-law, from, you know, him giving me a real life check. By the time I hit 2006, you know, my pocketbook was tied to it. I didn't want to admit I was doing something wrong, but my integrity also wants to remain intact too. So I'm having these little, you know, I'm having this little tug of war. My heart's at war right now. Well, end of 2005, that's when, right after I met with my dad, I talked to one of the guys I had trained to be a financial advisor who left doing that, started doing real estate investing with his dad. He said, yeah, my dad's doubled his cash flow from, you know, basically doubled his income at his own university, which means that his dad could essentially retire off the income he was making in real estate. And I thought that was ridiculous. I had just met with his dad 4 or 5 months prior and was trying to make him a client, but he decided to do this dumb real estate investing. And of course, what do I find out? The cash flow he's already making and doubling his income. And I thought, that's too good to be true. There's no way that's possible. Well, guess what? It was. And I remember he said, hey, Chris, like really, what principles are you teaching your clients? I'm like, well, what do you mean by principles? Are you talking about Rule 72 and stuff and compound interest and dollar cost averaging? He's like, nope, none of that stuff. Those are not real principles. And he's like, all right, Chris, how many of your clients are financially free? None, maybe, no, none. They're all worrying about it, even though they're not in the stock market. I still have clients worrying about their money. They're going to worry they're going to run out. It's like, exactly. Good job, Chris. Well, how about you guys? You guys have it all figured out. How many of you financial advisors are financially free? Not of the commissions you're making, but of actually taking the investment advice you've been giving, doing the investments. And I started thinking, like, none, maybe one. And then I found out later that guy wasn't either. It was all a facade. No one, none of these advisors were financially free off of these mutual funds. And some of them had been doing this business for 30 plus years. Now I know these guys, some of these guys have been doing it out for 40 years plus. Some of them have been doing this since the mid to late 70s, and they're still not able to retire. You know, now, if they live cheap, they might be able to stretch their money out, but they really can't comfortably retire yet. Therefore, they keep working. And he's like, well, there's your problem. I was like, well, give me the answer. He said, listen, if you're serious about this, here, read this book about mutual funds called Who Took My Money by Robert Kiyosaki, who is just Rich Dad, Poor Dad, right? He's like, now, it's funny. I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad so many times, but I actually believe that Rich Dad, Poor Dad somehow supported what we taught as financial advisors, which he didn't. He was actually against it. And so he had me, you know, get that book. I got the audio book, listened to it in 3 hours, you know, 3 hour time. Now you guys have things like Audible or whatever. You can even put on fast forward. You probably listen to it in 1 to 2 hours, you know, depending on what speed you're doing. But I listened to that time. And I was like, okay, I admit mutual funds are weak, but I dropped my licenses recently to do stock trading. So I'm okay with that. He's like, now listen to these other guys. They're millionaires. These guys are business owners and real estate investors. They do a radio show locally here in Utah. Check it out. So I started listening to that show for months, actually. I remember it was January that they came back on the air after Christmas and New Year's. And I started listening to their show and I was fascinated. And now all during this time, I stopped going to my trainings as a financial advisor. What was interesting is as I was starting to open up my eyes to new things and I stopped attending the trainings that these guys had trainings multiple times a week that I was supposed to go to. When I stopped going to those trainings, what was amazing, I worked less hours and made more money as a financial advisor. In fact, by the time I quit of March of 2006, March of that year, when I finally just could not stay in integrity and stick around anymore because I realized what was offered by financial advisors do not have the answer. It's not the solution. So I realized at that point, I said, man, like I'm at the height of my practice. Right now, I'm making more money I ever have as a financial advisor by not teaching the things they've taught me. And then when I left, then I vowed never to go back to, you know, teaching about money again. That was short-lived because it wasn't, but maybe a few months later after I was able to retire myself, you know, doing the opposite of what I taught as a financial advisor, but able to look and focus on cash flow and really like how to maximize both my human life value as well as my property value, both my money and my talents and my energy and everything else, I was able to retire myself. And I thought, holy cow, I'm 28 and retired. I never thought I could do it this young as a financial advisor, which was true. I could never see it because I was never taught from a place of abundance. I was always taught from a place of scarcity. It was always about that time game. There's never enough. You got to battle taxes, the headwinds of financial advising, you know, the taxes and the inflation that you're battling. You got to get past that and you got to have compound interest work in your favor. And hey, just delay it longer if you want to keep working in your favor, as long as the market works out just right. And I remember that event I went to that got me to quit. I mean, those guys made fun of financial advisors. I mean, they even asked for a raise of hands. They said, hey, are there any financial advisors in the room? I started to raise my hand, only realizing I was the only one out of like 100 people that was a financial advisor. I quickly shot it down, did not raise my hand. Although the guys at my table who were friends of mine knew I was. But after that weekend, after realizing that high risk creates high return is false and realizing that being in it for the long haul doesn't work if the market goes down. You never know how long that long haul is going to be. And, you know, and all these things about diversification, which doesn't work in real investing worlds and things like that. All these things came out. These myths, these lies. I could not keep doing it anymore. And eventually I got to the point where, you know, I was retired, wondering what I was going to be when I grew up. And that's when I had the opportunity to come out of retirement in 2007 and start teaching people how to get out of the rat race. Now, for those of you listening to the show, I went through all kinds of ups and downs during that time. I went through the recession. I went back into the rat race. I went over $1 million in debt. I had to pay that debt back. I had to get myself out of the rat race again. And all those things I did in effort to get to where I am again, where 3 years ago I was able to be again financially independent, where I had streams of income paying for my expenses. And now I work by choice because I want to, not because I have to. And that's why I teach you guys to do today. And that's my message to you guys as financial advisors. For those of you that are in this world, if you were like me, you probably know that something was not quite right, that there's something wrong. You don't quite know what it is. This is kind of like the Matrix, right? It's about taking the red pill or the blue pill. You can take the blue pill and go right back to your normal lives, keep making money, and you might make great money as a financial advisor. But I can promise you that there's going to be something in the back of your mind that wonders, is what you're doing really right? Especially when, if you listen to this show enough, you realize there's so many holes in that stuff that it'll be no mystery why people are not retiring. And by the way, I've been in this for 18 years. I've seen what happens when people keep doing this, and then they eventually come to me after decades of financial advice that has not got them to retirement. They're not financially free. They don't feel like they can quit because in reality, their money won't last. They can't live on 2 or 3% of their mutual funds and hope to be able to retire. Most people have never saved up enough money to do that. And the average person, definitely not. Especially if you're not focusing on the wealthy, if you're even focusing on the upper middle class. The upper middle class are having a hard time retiring right now, despite maxing out their 401ks and IRAs. And if you're looking at this, you're probably thinking, this isn't good. You can take the blue pill, go right back to what you're doing, but I can promise you, you cannot remain in ignorance and expect this to turn out well. Not just for you, but your clients especially. And I had to make that same decision. If I want to stay in integrity, I had to take that red pill. I had to wake up. I had to kind of get out of that stupid financial matrix and realize, you know what? This does not work. But there are better solutions. There are other ways. There are ways, guys. I'm telling you that people that would have zero hope of retirement with their mutual funds have hopes of retiring within 5 to 10 years. You know, I've had some people that thought they would be lucky to retire in 10 years and say, guess what? You can do it in a year or two. You know, just be, and do it with less risk. I mean, if you can imagine, like, there's so much out there. There are so many ways to help and serve people if you break the mold. And I'm speaking to those of you that are really those that are willing to challenge the status quo, because the status quo has failed. It's created mediocrity at best. But the truth is, mediocrity is failure. If you want something different, guys, you got to pay attention. And maybe you're already listening to the show. You've been listening to it for a long time. And you're kind of wondering, like, okay, Chris, I've wondered what to do. You know, maybe you're like me when I listened to that other radio show on AM radio locally here in Utah, that finally it took months and me going to an event that I said, okay, that's it. I'm done. I'm putting in my resignation. I'm out of here. Despite the fact I was at the height of my practice, I shut it down and I didn't know what to do. Now, in fact, all I did was mortgages, actually. I did mortgages and I was still teaching people how to trade stocks and options. That was pretty much my answer at the time. But I'm telling you, if you're like me, I mean, I'm a teacher at heart. I want people to do it, and I want to create a ripple effect in many, many people's lives. And I know I already have, and I'll continue to do so. My invite to you as a financial advisor, and as me being the anti-financial advisor, to you as the financial advisors or the planners or whatever you might be, is to break that mold. I invite you to create the ripple effect of your own to stop this, stop the madness, and do something different, something that actually has been proven to work, to take a different path. It's the path less traveled. The thing is, that path has been traveled by many. It's not your trailblazing. The trail is already blazing for you. I'm living proof of that. But there are better options. You'll have happier clients. And you know what? I promise you'll make more money, not just from your business, but you'll make more money because your investing will improve too. So my challenge to you guys is to break that mold. Now, for those of you who are listening that are financial advisors, and for those of you that maybe have financial advisors you care about a lot, they could be family members or they whatever they might be, but you want them to look at something different, here's what I'm doing. Is I'm actually, for the very first time, kicking off in a financial advisor training. This is part online, on-demand type model, and part live training model. I'm kicking this off in the next couple weeks. And so this is very time sensitive because the first group I'm starting, it's going to be that group, and then everybody's going to have to wait for several months before they can join another one. And that's if I decide to do another one. Because the truth is, this is kind of the group I'm using to create a ripple effect. Because as I get more in demand, more and more of you guys have been reaching out. My time is becoming more and more limited, especially if I like to stay part-time, to be honest. I like to stay part-time. But I want to make sure I work with people still one-on-one, but I want to make sure that you guys still have the answer too. That's why I know I can't do it by myself. If I'm going to teach about creating a ripple effect, I can't do it alone. I cannot change this world by myself. I can do a large amount. I can create some ripples, but you know, that ripple effect can become larger and faster if others jump on board. So that's why I'm training. I'm training financial advisors first and foremost, one, how to actually find money. You know, the cash flow process that I've done with hundreds and hundreds of clients have been proven. My average client has found an extra $34,000 a year in money saved. In some cases, money earned too, but mostly just money saved alone has been big, especially for business owners. Now on the flip side, I've also taught people how to create passive income. And that's been especially for those that aren't business owners and them too, but even people that aren't business owners are W-2 employees. And that's actually sort of increased that number and that average as time has gone on. Now it also helps them find more cash, which allows them to do more investing and speed everything up and get them to those retirement goals faster. You know, that's one thing that we teach is where do we find that money? Where are those hidden places? You know, I talk about that in the ebook, but how do I do the process myself where I go through and I find people's, you know, money leaks, as well as places where they can create more cash flow today. That's the kind of thing I'm training. I'm even training about the life insurance piece. That's one of the things that I do. I know a lot of you guys know I've done this, where I teach people how to create their own infinite bank and do it in a way that's supercharged, way above and beyond even the normal infinite banking type stuff you see out there. I get to supercharge it. The cool thing is that the clients make more money, they send more referrals, and you actually end up making more money as a result. Because of that abundance mentality and how you're able to do it. You know, I've made hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars a year just part-time doing life insurance stuff. So that's another way that you can learn to do it too. And then also how to market yourself in a unique way. Not to do it just like me, because I'm no guru. The one thing I've learned is that if anything, we all have our own unique recipe or flavor of how we do stuff. How do you market yourself in a way that leads keep on coming in repeatedly without you having to go and chase people down? So that's the kind of the three main things I'm focusing on is really, you know, cash flow, you know, using the infinite banking concept to actually help people double dip on their investment returns and you make more money in the process. And three, how to uniquely market yourself in a way that actually makes you legit. You get authority, but you also are uniquely being yourself, which attracts more people to you. So that's my message to financial advisors. If you're one of those financial advisors, shoot me an email, chris@moneyripples.com, and say, Chris, I would like to know how to be a part of that training group there. Also, you know, if you're the person listening saying, I need to get people referred to this, please refer them to this episode because this is important. It's going to be a pretty small group. I don't want more than about 12 people in it. To be honest, I've already messaged while recording this, which was a few days before you're hearing this today live. I've already invited about a dozen people to join this. Probably of those of you listening, there's probably only a few of you that will be let in as a result of this, but that's something that you're interested in. Shoot me an email, chris@moneyripples.com, and I'll kind of get a feel for where you're at and see if you are a good fit, because you really have to fit the right mold. You know, you don't have to be fit in a perfect mold, but you do have to have a right kind of mindset or mentality to have this work for you. So anyways, guys, I hope this was valuable. I hope even for those of you that aren't financial advisors, I hope learning from these stories helps you understand why I'm doing this, why it's so important to me that this ripple effect continues, that people got to be educated, including financial advisors. I would be a hypocrite if I did not include them too. If I was just talking to everybody else, but not financial advisors, hey, I'm just kind of holding it to myself, right? So here's the thing. I'm willing to share. I'm willing to create a ripple effect, not just through all of you listening, but also through the financial advisors as well that I know can create a massive change and really bless their lives and the lives of those around them. So anyways, guys, I hope you make a wonderful and prosperous week. We'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to the Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on the Chris Miles Money Show.